Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. This verse comes from Esther 4:14. It has shaped my ministry, and it is the theme of today's episode with my guest, who is an acquisitions editor for Esther Press. Before introducing her, welcome to Real Talk with Rachel. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert, and I'm a therapist on a mission to bridge the gap between faith and therapy. These episodes are meant to be educational, not a replacement for your therapist. Be sure to stick around until the end of today's show for our Let's Get Real Practical segment. This is where I share counselor-approved strategies to take the topic discussed with today's guest and make it relevant in your everyday life through simple action steps. This month, we are celebrating the one-year anniversary of releasing my book, Image Restored, and I want to just read another review from a reader. Here's what she says. I am just starting the third unit. There have been delays, but always the right timing. Rachel has really hit a home run in this book. She suggests taking it slow, and I'm doing that. Her way of allowing time to listen to God is key. She has done an excellent job in this book to create an intimate time with the Lord every time you sit down to read. I highly recommend this book. I am taking it slow. It will be a blessing to all who take their time. The videos are an addition to frame the lessons and create a time to commit to memory what I'm learning in each unit. Thank you, Rachel, for your obedience and commitment to the Lord in writing this book to help others. Job well done. Well, thank you to that sweet reader for leaving that amazing and detailed review. I just want to highlight to you, I'm sure those of you listening, how many times she mentioned take your time. I love that. And I have told so many people that. I know this is opposite of what most of the world tells you. It's all about speed. It's all about fast. But I would rather, in fact, if you're listening right now and you're going, yeah, I bought your book last year and it released, and maybe you've only read the intro, or maybe you haven't even cracked it. Who knows where you are? But can I just give you that permission to go as slowly or quickly as the Lord wants you to get through this material? I promise His timing is perfect. Let Him move through it with you and bring things up and out at a pace that just feels good and life-giving, okay? Now, let's get back to this guest, though, that I kind of hinted at the beginning of the show. I'm going to formally introduce you to the woman who believed in me and the message of Image Restored. Susan McPherson is an author acquisitions editor for David C. Cook Publishing and their Esther Press imprint for women. She is dedicated to encouraging and equipping women to courageously stand strong in the truth of God's word through her work leading the women's community for Esther Press. She loves Jesus, coffee, college football, and her life as a wife and mother in the Nashville, Tennessee area. So today, what I did with Susan, since this is the one-year anniversary, you know, last week I had my husband on, this week I've got Susan on, next week I have a really cool guest. It's another male. It's actually, I'm just going to give you a spoiler alert. It's a male therapist who counsels body image. Oh my goodness, that episode is going to blow your mind. But for right now, I want you to know this about what Susan and I did today. We pulled back the curtains of the book writing process from concept to finish, plus what publishers are really looking for in potential authors. It might surprise you. Side note, it is not your platform. And even if you don't have a dream to write a book, you might be tuning in today, you're going, well, this doesn't apply to me. Stay tuned. First of all, you never know. But also stay tuned because you will glean wisdom from this episode to step out into whatever that you feel called to for such a time as this. So please help me welcome Susan to the show. Well, hi, Susan. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rachel. It's so good to be with you. So fun to see you. I haven't seen you in a while.
I know. We used to get to see each other all the time. So I've missed that. Yeah. Well, you are a special treat for my listeners. And before I jump into why, and I tell them all exactly who you are and why we're talking today, I love to ask all my guests, what is maybe a random fact about you that I wouldn't read about you in your professional bio?
Oh, gosh. Okay, I can tell you something really fun, just an interesting tidbit that people seem to get a kick out of. So I am originally from Ohio. And when I was about 16 years old, a group of three friends and I traveled with one of their parents to go see this Miss Indiana pageant. And her brother's girlfriend was in the pageant. Well, it just so happens that George Clooney's dad was the MC. But George was pre-famous George at the, he was, I think, 19 years old. So we were walking around kind of the hotel area, and I actually met a pre-famous George Clooney when he was 19 years old. And his dad was the person that we were thinking was the famous one because he was an anchor in our town, a news anchor. So I have a picture with myself at 16 and George Clooney.
Oh, together. How funny.
It's so funny.
Wow.
Yes. And he was such a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Such a sweetheart.
How many years after that did he become mega famous? Do you know?
I think he started acting probably like around 23. Okay. So, but mega famous, I think he was closer to 30.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So everyone gets a kick out of that little tidbit.
That is a very fun fact. I like it. I like that. Okay. Yeah. So this month, as this episode releases, we are celebrating 1 year of Image Restored being out into the world. And I wanted listeners, I know it's so exciting. I can't believe it's been a year. It's crazy.
I can't either, Rachel. That just blows my mind.
Yeah. And I wanted the listeners, you know, I'm just doing a couple special episodes this month just to celebrate one that, you know, it's been out in the world. Some really cool things have happened in the book, through the book, you know, lots of testimonies. But I don't feel like we always stop and go back and honor the people who made these things come to life, right? And so you played a huge, I mean, very huge part. If it weren't for you, definitely would not have gotten this out into the world in the way that we did. And so I wanted listeners, one, just to kind of get to know you, and then also for you to hear. But before we talk about Image Restored, I think there's probably some listeners who are like, what's an acquisitions editor? So can you tell them what you do?
I'm sure there are. I can sum it up real briefly by saying I'm a recruiter for authors. I am on the lookout for great projects and really ministry-minded author partners. And so it's just super fun. So I'm always on the lookout for good book projects or Bible study projects. And then, you know, the mix of that with a really wonderful partner and an author.
Yeah.
Which you fit the mold there.
Okay. Yeah. So I would love to hear what makes someone like me fit the mold.
You know, to be even super specific about you in particular. So what happens with an author acquisitions editor is we get book proposals from literary agents. We're constantly reading through book proposals and you kind of learn kind of a shorthand of what to look for. So in your case, I had become aware of you through your podcast. And I remember when I got your book proposal, you had won an award at Spark Media. And so it just kind of brought you kind of to the front of the line in my mind. I'm like, oh, she's very interesting. And then I started reading your book proposal and just your ideas and the way you presented it, your writing, everything was just, I want to meet this person. I really want to explore the possibility. So, and that's really how it works. I'm also out hunting for people. It's not always through a book proposal. There have been music artists that I've reached out to or someone online that I discover who's a great Bible teacher. I will reach out to that person and try to meet with them and just see, you know, do you have a book in your heart that God is asking you to write. And so I call that the hunting piece of what I do. So between that and getting book proposals from literary agents, that's pretty much how I'm kind of looking for that great partner and that great project.
Yeah. Do you only take proposals from literary agents?
Typically, yes. The reason is, Rachel, we receive hundreds a year, and the literary agents really help us kind of weed through some things. It's just, there's so much reading required in what I do. It is very helpful to have authors go through literary agents. And they, I think literary agents are great at helping fine tuning book proposals as well, and really helping to fine tune the book idea and help the author really think through how it would fit in the marketplace and how it would be unique.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and I know that my listeners, they're not all here, you know, wanting to write books or wanting to go this direction, but I do think it's very interesting. I've learned you have people who write books and you have people who read them usually, right? You know, and sometimes most of us who write also read, and there's definite crossover. But I know for me personally, becoming an author has given me a greater appreciation for other people's books even, you know, so I just also thought it's kind of fun for my listeners to hear that, you know, you don't just sit down and, you know, pop out a book within a couple months. You know, it's pretty, there's lots of thought that goes into it and lots of things you work through. And I know sometimes that can feel frustrating to the author, but I know for me personally, I appreciated all the, I guess you could call them road bumps, hurdles, things you had to overcome, right? Because it made the message that much stronger, and it made it go, okay, yes, like this needs to get out, like this needs to, and in this format, and that wrestling through is really powerful. So thank you for believing in me and in the message. And you know what I also love about what you do, again, not everybody's wanting to write a book, but what you do is you're really looking for the golden people, like, you know, you're pulling out of people what you see, right?
Right.
I mean, and that's a gift.
That's so good. That's so good. So good. And it's really a joy and an honor. And when I say good partners, which you have been amazing, it's that attitude, we're in this together.
Yeah.
Our heart, where I work, is truly in revealing God to the world.
Yeah.
Through what we publish. And so I look for authors who really have a Jesus heart, kind of that servant-hearted, servant-minded approach. And that's how we try to be. And that's what makes it a good partnership. And you totally did not disappoint us that way. It was really a great experience.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And the feeling is mutual. I remember so many people warned me, not of you guys, but of publishers in general. They were like, brace yourself. It's going to be horrible. And it's going to, you know, and so I kind of going in, I'm like, okay. And I kept bracing myself, but like nothing ever happened, you know? And I was like, I'm like this, you know? And so that was also a great learning experience for me of, yes, listen to people's insight and listen to their experiences, but also really, it just reminded me the Lord is the one who's in control, right? Not man, not companies, not like, and just because somebody had a bad experience, that we do not have to take that on as our bad experience too. Right. And things can be different. And honestly, I've just found that in life that if the Lord is in something, that means his blessings on it, his anointings on it, we get favor with people. And that's just what I experienced the whole way through. And so obviously that's a testament to David C. Cook and Esther Press and the whole team there, but it's also a testament just to the Lord, right? Like, hey, if my hand's on something, no man can close that door, and no, you know, fiery darts from the enemy is going to slow that down. And that's what I like to encourage people with. Again, even if it's not a book they're writing, whatever it is they're pursuing, if everybody else has had a hard experience, go, well, that doesn't have to be my story. The Lord, you know, if he's in it, he's going to go with me and before me. So anyhow.
Amen. That's a healthy attitude, and it's hard. The editing process can be hard, as you know, and you get that first draft back, that first round of edits, it can be a blow. in some ways. And I know that's hard, but you have to go into it with that attitude, Rachel, because everyone is really in it to glorify God, and we're in it together. It's not anything but that, and to make it the best it could be. So your attitude coming into it was healthy to begin with. And that's really key. And yeah, like you said, with anything, with our jobs, with our relationships, I always, my mantra is to always assume good intent in others. It's not always the case, as you know, but most of the time it is. And if you can do that, it's just a healthy attitude to just give people grace and just really have that. We're in this together. Let's work through this.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. And you know, something else I decided ahead of time, and again, to the listener who goes, I'm not writing a book, you can apply this to anything that you take on in life, is that if you trust who you're partnering with, then you trust and you welcome that they have your best interest in mind. And when they give you feedback, it's not a personal attack. It is, hey, we're all linked arms. We're all trying to make this better in the end. And so, that was just the approach I took, you know, and I tried to open hand receive all the feedback that y'all gave, because I just was like, well, first of all, you've been in the industry longer than me, so you know something, you know, first book over here versus however many you've put out there. And then, yeah, if you trust the heart of somebody that their best interest is, you know, your best interest is in mind and the overall project is, then it's easier to receive that feedback. So, yeah. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay. So now let's pivot a little bit to Image Restored. What made you think, yes, this is a message we need to get out there?
I know most women in my circle have that struggle. I can't even tell you one person I know that doesn't in some way, shape, or form. And I just felt, and I think you and I kind of worked through this concept. I don't exactly remember the initial concept you proposed, but I think we worked through this. And with your background and your education, and I just felt you had so much credibility to speak to this from both a spiritual side and from a clinical side. And it was just the perfect project, I thought, for you. And I just have seen it throughout my lifetime, the struggle that women have with their body image. And it just saddens me that we all are so hard on ourselves, and we don't look at ourselves as the gift that God gave us in our bodies. And so it just was the perfect topic, I thought, for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the interesting thing, now that we're a year past, you know, when I hear the testimonies come in, it goes along with what I knew to be true, but, you know, you just see it in action, is that body image is no respecter of age and even gender. Like, I've even had men who are resonating with the message, and I've had to tell, you know, when I'm on podcast interviews and different things, I'll say, now I know the cover has pretty girly flowers on it, but the content, you know, like, don't let that deter you from, if you're a male and you want to read it too, because I've even known spouses who read it together who could resonate. And then lots of mother daughters reading it together, again, because you have the, you know, women in their 80s who are still struggling with this, all the way down to then their daughters and granddaughters who were, you know, 8-10 years old, right? And so you exactly. just see it across the way. And so that was one thing that I very much appreciated, again, in our partnership, was, yes, to your point, when I first set out to write the book, the outline that I had was a little different. And I remember, as I started to really fill in the meat, the Lord just pivoted me a bit, you know, the core message was still the same, but the way in which we were going to deliver it was just different. And I remember praying, and I was like, oh Lord, what do I do? And he just was like, just tell him, just be honest, like, that you're feeling a different, you know, way. And so I remember sending you guys an email, you may not even remember this, and like, I know that this is what I originally said, but I'm really feeling this. And you guys were like, yeah, we love it, go for it. Like, you just totally let me run with it. And then you got behind the interactive piece. In fact, I think that might have been your idea, to include the videos, and then, you know, then the journaling and the coloring pages. And I cannot tell you, again, the number of people who tell me They love the interactive element of it.
I'm so glad.
That has just completely elevated the entire experience for everybody. Yeah.
That was the goal. And when I met you, when we met over Zoom, I knew immediately that we had to include video. And the videos are outstanding. I actually edit those. So I've seen them probably 5 times each. But every time I'm like, this is so powerful. And it really is this experience that you're describing. And along with the coloring page, there's just so much activity that just drives the message home. So I just love how it turned out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, me too. And yeah, it's fun in those videos. In some of the earlier videos, I introduced butterfly hugs, which is just something I do, you know, a lot in counseling. And that has been a fun, so many people will message me and say, I taught my daughter how to do the butterfly hugs. Or we have counseling groups who are using the book and, you know, they're watching the stuff together. And so, yeah, but you know, I just appreciated that you caught the vision for that too, of, you know, it's one thing for people to read it, but then for them to actually put it into action just really cements the things that they're learning. Yeah,
exactly. You know, you mentioned mothers teaching their daughters the butterfly hugs. I envision this book and the women who have experienced this book, even that aren't mothers yet, just really being able to parent in a different way to this topic as they become mothers or as they are mothers. It's really a reframing of your mindset. And it's just a beautiful thing. So that makes me so happy that they're talking about the butterfly hugs and those kind of things.
Yeah. That's been really fun to see that. Okay. Now let's pivot just a tiny bit. So, because this was another exciting surprise I got to be a part of when I, you know, came on board with you all. I was with David C. Cook, but then my book got released under Esther Press, which was very special for me because, well, for multiple reasons. I'll let you tell here in a minute, the listeners, you know, the heart behind Esther Press and things. But Esther has been like the woman who has really inspired me over the years. And just that's really the story that God used. You know, I used to be a no girl, you know, like no to everything, no thank you. Don't want to be in the spotlight. I would get asked to speak. In fact, Susan, you may not know this about me, but when I was in college, I had shared a bit of my body image testimony with a small group leader. And next thing I know, our college pastor called and asked me to speak to the college about body image. And it was like 1,000 students. And I just straight up told him, no, I was like, no, I don't speak. And he said, will you pray about it? And I was like, sure. But I did not pray about it. I just, no, not
you're
a speaker.
Like, no, that's not happening.
Yeah, not happening. So I love the Lord and his fun sense of humor. You know, here we are decades later. Not only am I, I'm speaking about it, you know, so, and I'm writing about it. But here we are. But Esther, that story, I just remember when the Lord started to call me out on wanting me to start speaking up and sharing some of my story and encouraging other women. That's exactly where he led me. That if you remain quiet, first, you know, who's going to speak up? Who is going to be the one who starts talking about these things and helping people? And he gave me just a visual of this picture still sits with me. I was sitting in a women's conference at my church, Pink Impact, again, over a decade ago. And he was stirring my heart about starting to speak up and do these things. And he was bringing Esther to mind. And he's gave me this I'm very visual. So the Lord speaks to me in pictures a lot. And he just showed me an image of, I was walking kind of along a paved path, and there was like people all along this path, and they were all staring at me. And I remember thinking, like, you're like, oh, they're all looking at me. But I got to the end, and there was a young girl kind of sitting like in almost a fetal position, like kind of looking like she's a little scared. And I reached my hand out and just said, hey, here, come with me. And I helped her up and I walked her back along the path. And the Lord just spoke to me in that moment, Rachel, all I'm asking you to do is go back for the one. Like, ignore, you know, silence the voices of all the people who are watching. And maybe, you know, they're just kind of on the sidelines as you go do your thing. And that vision and just picture for me has kept me going so many times when it's tempting to make it about myself or about my insecurities or about what are they going to think? He's like, I'm just asking you go back for the one. Go back for who did you need? in that season of your life, go back for her.
I love that.
So anyhow, that to say, whenever my book got to be released under Esther Press, it was also like the Lord kind of winking, going, I see you, you know, like I have not forgotten about that vision I gave you all those years ago. So can you tell us about your heart, your vision for Esther Press?
Yes. Well, first of all, I just want to say I share your love for Esther. She is the one woman in the Bible that I would say has impacted me the most as well. I was kind of a no girl too. I always say I was a big chicken when it came to a lot of things. And I look at Esther and she's just so courageous in what she does. And just Esther 4:14 is kind of our guiding scripture. And in that, it says, for if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. And you mentioned, I mean, it will arrive. God's plans are going to happen. We don't want to miss playing our part. He's saying, here you go. And I always say he likes to push us out on the edge so that it's not ourselves we're relying on, it's him. So I share your love of Esther for that reason. And I love hearing your story about being a no girl and how he pushed you out on that ledge. It's time, Rachel.
Yeah.
And so full circle that Esther Press is publishing your book. So the vision for Esther Press came from when I, almost a year or two into the company, I've been with David C. Cook now for close to 10 years. And when I came into the company, I was in a sales capacity. I was leading women's ministry at my church. So I had a real heart for leading women. In my mind, so many women are kind of sitting back in the shadows being no girls or no women, like you had mentioned you were, and not answering God's call because they didn't feel equipped or they were scared. And in my mind, I really wanted to create resources that would help women, equip them to really be courageous in answering God's call and who he created them to be, so that they would not miss out on their part, playing their part in God's kingdom. And so that's really the heart behind what we do. So David C. Cook is a man's name. I'm like, we have got to carve out space for women with a different name. And that's where, of course, my love for Esther arose and the concept of equipping women to stand strong in the truth of God's word and who he created them to be. So I pitched it. It took me 4 times over the course of probably 5 years, Rachel, before I got the thumbs up, let's do this thing. And so we started in the fall of 2022. We released our first 3 titles. And then from there, we have started to create a community, the Esther Press community, that includes a live event that we're hosting here in Nashville in April that we're really excited about. But we have a website at estherpress.com. We have blog writers. We have new partners who are serving female songwriters. So we want to create space for women to share their story, and it might not be a book. It might be through songwriting. We are partnering with Spark Media, who you are familiar with, for women who may feel called to host a podcast. So we're really trying to create space in our community for women to share their God stories and to really become all he created them to be.
Oh, yes. It's so beautiful. I'm just yesing and amening to all of it. So can you share with us more about the upcoming event? I will be there, one of the speakers. There's a ton of amazing speakers. Let's hear about that.
We're so excited. So it's a 2.5-day event in Spring Hill, Tennessee, which is about 30 miles south of Nashville. We have speakers like Lisa Harper, Tammy Trent, who's the host of Life Today, and she's also a music artist, Jenny Owens, Lena Abujamra, Rachel Gilbert. We have Allie Worthington, Lisa Whittle, just a whole plethora of amazing speakers, and we really want it to be an interactive, immersive experience for everyone. So the women are going to be in the same room together throughout the experience. We're not doing breakouts. We want everyone in the room together. And we're going to kind of walk through the book of Esther, and we're really going to talk about Esther's surrender, Esther's faith, Esther's courage, and really help these women establish the courage to really step into their calling. One little highlight, Rachel, I don't know if you remember, there was a women's conference. It was kind of the pioneer of women's conferences called Women of Faith.
Yeah.
And they used to sell out arenas, 20,000, 30,000 women. And they really kind of pioneered the whole concept of having women's conferences. And one of the founding members of the speaker team of Women of Faith is also going to be there as our guest. She and I will do an onstage interview, and her name is Patsy Claremont. And we're going to do just kind of a tribute to the Women of Faith as well in one of the segments of our program. So it's going to be so much fun.
That's so neat. Yeah. And you know, what I love about you creating this space for women, obviously with Esther Press and then this conference, is, you know, I have two teenage girls. I'm bringing one of them with me to the conference, my 17-year-old.
I'm so happy. I can't wait to meet her.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, part of, I love that I've been able to bring my girls alongside me, because especially my 17-year-old, we've been having a lot of conversations of she's involved in conversations, if you will, at school. Of she's already noticing the tension that a lot of women feel of, I want to be a mom and a wife, but I also want to go do some things. You know, like I also want to go, if I feel the Lord call me to do something, like my daughter in particular feels called to government and she loves to do speech and debate. Oh, wow. Like that's her, you know, she is my speaker and debater and everything. And so, you know, she's already, even as a 17-year-old, you know, woman, already experiencing that bit of tension. So I just love that we're able to create this space and that we have so many speakers that are all going to come from different walks of life and kind of give their thing. But what I just love about the Lord and how he calls us to things is it's just, it goes hand in hand. I don't believe we have to throw out one and choose one over the other, if you will, you know, right. And that's something that I'm trying to teach my daughters, like, hey, you can, if you feel called to be a mom and a wife, and that's something that you want to do, you can do that. Oh, and guess what? You know, as the Lord opens those opportunities for you to go do some things that are also just passions of yours, you know, these Esther moments where sometimes it looks like getting on a stage and sometimes it looks like, you know, doing the hard thing of having a hard conversation at work, right? You know, like it's just speaking up, like it's not always from a stage place, but teaching them how to be confident in who they are in Christ and find their voice and be brave enough to use it in those moments. So I just appreciate that you're like trailblazing that and creating that space for it too.
Yeah. I love that. You know, I look at today's world and it's, in my mind, it has gone crazy. I mean, I think I never dreamed that we would be dealing with some of the things that we're dealing with. So in my mind, we need more Esthers in this world than ever before. So we want to really encourage women to answer God's call. And it may be teaching Sunday school on a Sunday morning. Yeah. I'm telling you, Rachel, when I was in my sales capacity with David C. Cook, I went to a lot of children's ministry conferences. And a lot of those people shared with me how difficult it was to get volunteers. And people would say, well, I don't feel equipped. I don't feel confident that I can teach Sunday school. And those are the people, those are the people kind of sitting in the shadows that we want to bring forward. He will equip you. God will equip you. We want you to just step in faith. It's that, again, being pushed out to the ledge where you're not feeling totally equipped or qualified or whatever it may be, and your reliance is on God to get you there. So that's really where we want to get women to be, whether it be writing a book or teaching Sunday school or sharing your faith in the workplace, learning how to do that. Those are the things we want to do. And it's going to be a really neat age range of women. experiences, women who are attending and women who are speaking, and we can all kind of come together and encourage each other.
Yeah, that's my favorite, to be in person. I mean, I'm appreciative of technology and all the things it brings, yes, but in person, you just will never beat it. You'll never replace it. So, yeah.
Exactly. Well, and I look at my job with all of you, my author team. I look at myself kind of as a coach. I'm a big sports fan, and I look at myself as a coach and getting you all in the same room and really encouraging you and just pouring into you. It just is everything I'm about. So I cannot wait to be together in person. I really can't. It's going to be so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So where can people, I know you mentioned the site earlier for Esther Press. Can they find the conference on there as well?
Yes, estherpress.com under events, and we are selling tickets, buy one, get one free. The value, there are so many great speakers, music artists, there is no better value right now in the market for a conference.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited to attend too. So,
yeah. No, me yeah. too.
Yes, exactly. All right. Too. Well, Susan, thank you for taking time to come on, that my listeners got to meet you, the woman behind the scenes who believed in me, believed in the message of Image Restored, and then even greater than just in me, just the work you're doing for women in this space, just across the board. It's just nationwide, global, all the things. So we just appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate you so much, Rachel. And I just want to thank you for your faithfulness. I'm really grateful for that. And it inspires me.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
It's time for Let's Get Real Practical. This is the part of the show where we take the topic discussed with today's guest and we get into some practical steps you can implement into your life right now. And I'm keeping this very simple. I don't know about you. I was so encouraged by that conversation with Susan. And here is the thing I want to share with you. I have been saying this for years. It's really, you know, years ago, whenever I felt the Lord calling me out into ministry-related things, as I even shared in the episode today, it felt very scary. I had a lot of what I call what ifs. What if I make a mistake? What if I get things wrong? What if my theology's off? What if I make a fool of myself, right? And of course, oftentimes these what ifs are very us focused, right? But here's what the Lord spoke to me and I'm sharing with you today. Your why has to be greater than your what ifs. I'm going to say that again. Your why has to be greater than your what ifs. So my question to you today, we've got some practical questions here. First of all, what's your why? And if you don't know what I mean by that, like, why do you feel led to do a certain thing? I was even just talking to somebody I was counseling today about this. We were talking through her why for wanting freedom and body image. She's going through my book with me. It's a pretty cool experience for us. And she got to write out all these whys of why she's willing to do this work. So maybe for you, it's body image related. Maybe it's career related, or even just that the Lord is calling you out to something. And one thing I loved about this list of whys that I made with this woman today, one of my favorite whys she had on that list was, because God told me to do it. I'm being obedient to do it. Oh, that's such a good why that will keep us going every single time. So what's your why? Write it down. Now I want to know, what's your what if? What things are you sitting there going, oh, what if? What if it's hard? What if I fall on my face and make a fool of myself? What if I lose friends over this? What if, right? Those what ifs, oh, they can be so loud. And here's the question I now have for you, our final question. Which is louder? Which voice is louder in your life right now? That why? That why you want to step out and do something? Or the what ifs that are trying to hold you back? Okay. So remember, your why has to be greater than your what ifs, especially if you want to keep moving forward. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for every single person who's sitting under the sound of my voice. I thank you that I get to do this podcast. I thank you that my why in stepping out is so much bigger than all those what ifs that tried to hold me back. Now, Lord, I release that same favor and anointing over these listeners here, that your voice would be louder than the voices that are telling them they can't do it, that it's too hard, that it's never been done, it's too late, they're too old, they're too whatever. We silence those voices, those lying voices in Jesus' name. May your voice speak so much louder. May our why be to bring you glory in all that we do. Forgive us when we lose focus and we take our eyes off you. We ask all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, hey, if you're listening and you haven't yet grabbed a copy of my book, I've been noticing it's been on sale on Amazon. I can't promise at the time of the release of this that it's still on sale, but I know last time I looked, it was actually 50% off. So pretty amazing. You won't find it that cheap anywhere else. So go check it out on Amazon. Go to imagerestoredbook.com to learn more. And if you're listening and you're like, yeah, I've read it, and you haven't left a review, will you go do that on Amazon too? Because we know everybody goes straight to those reviews, right? When we're looking at buying something. And so if some stranger who does not familiar with me in my ministry gets to go and read those reviews, it makes them, you know, want to trust me and those resources a bit more. So that would very much greatly bless me and the book and my publisher if you would go leave a review. All right, friends. Well, I pray, as always, that this Real Talk episode brought you one step closer to living free and pursuing your God-given dreams. And I'll see you back here next time on Real Talk with Rachel.